Welcome to Cryptic Chronicles, a show all about everything mysterious, unexplained, and cryptic in the world. Today on the show is the first part of a two-parter episode concerning an interview I have with TD on demonic possession, among other things. TD is a musician and a lifelong esoteric paranormal investigator. And this is the first time that TD has ever, told his story of one of the most profound and life-changing series of events that he has ever had in his life. It's an excellent conversation that's extremely fascinating, so let's just hop right into it, shall we? I'm your host, Tim Hacker, and you're listening to Cryptic Chronicles.
This is the way.
This is the way.
These entities, they would congregate.
Now is the time to take
Hello, listeners. I am here with TD, and we're going to have an interesting conversation today. TD, what has brought you to Cryptic Chronicles?
I can't remember who it was, but someone I was speaking to on one of the Discord channels I'm a part of first linked me to your channel. And after watching a few of the episodes, I really enjoyed it. I liked the amount of work you were putting in for, you know, the size of channel you are. A lot of channels can be very lazy with their content and stuff, but I feel like you always went very in depth with your topics. And I really enjoyed your videos, so I subscribed to the Patreon, of course. And yeah, I've just been enjoying the content ever since. Shout out whoever plugged me. I can't remember who exactly, but yeah, very big fan of the content.
Right on. Thank you. That means a lot to me. But today, I think you have some interesting things to tell us about esoteric topics.
Yeah, correct. So throughout my life, I live in England, so I'm from England. I'm 21 years of age, but throughout my whole life, I've been kind of faced with a lot of the paranormal, the occult, the esoteric. I grew up in quite prevalent areas for witchcraft back in the day when it was happening, and that stuff's obviously very much passed over into modern time. And feel like I could share quite a few of these experiences, as whether people believe it or not, just in terms of general psychology and in being safe and your own well-being in life. Even if you don't believe in the paranormal and occult, it still is something that can affect you in ways that a lot of people don't think still exists nowadays. So yeah, I'll be sharing a bit of what's beyond the veil.
There is a pretty big psychological aspect to these things, isn't there?
Definitely. And I think that's the biggest thing I try to explain to people is, I tell quite a lot of people my stories because it affected me greatly. And it was something that almost consumed me completely. And whether you believe that these spirits and these entities are real or not, the psychology of it all is very real. You know, whether you believe this said person is possessed or under the influences of mental health such as schizophrenia, often they do combine. And even if the ghost itself may not be real, the paranormal, like the paranormal still affects the mind in great psychological ways. There's a lot of damage to people, and it's I think one of the big errors in modern day science is the disconnection between metaphysics and medicine. And I think that's doing psychology great harm nowadays, because all of those paranormal aspects that a lot of people with mental health experience get brushed off and shoved aside, but they often go hand in hand, whether it's real or not. They both have huge effects on each other.
Yeah, it seems like it's pretty objectively factual, according to a lot of esoteric factions and whatnot, that what happens in the mind is just as real as what happens outside the mind, right?
Exactly. I mean, one common example I tend to refer to people when they say, oh, you know, you've got a cool story, but it doesn't sound real. I think you're making this up, or don't you think it's just your brain? And, you know, sometimes I agree and I will say, yeah, it could very well be my brain. There are people with conditions such as phantom pain, which lead them to live completely disabled and debilitating lives through chronic pain that comes about only by form of the mind. It's a psychological condition that directly results in the body having physical pain. So again, like I said, many people, they may not believe that these ghosts and stuff are real, but they need to at least appreciate and respect the facts that a lot of people's brains have the power to produce these effects. And again, they affect each other equally as much. It's like a nuclear reaction when mental health and the paranormal start combining. But the brain is a very powerful and fascinating thing, that's for sure. It can alter reality in quite profound ways.
Yeah, and I mean, if you're being like objective and non-biased too, if you keep up with like quantum physics and stuff, like what, only 4% of the universe is actually perceivable by our senses? So how can you say that you know something exists or doesn't exist or make these claims when that's just objectively wrong?
Exactly. That was a very good point there, that's for sure. Because, I mean, just the observable universe itself, like you said, we only see 4%, which isn't even a side of the cube. That's, we're seeing one tiny fraction. And even with the visible light spectrum, I believe it, although we see such a wide array of colors, I'm not sure of the exact figure, but we definitely don't see 100% of the visible light spectrum, and let alone all the x-rays and all these other things that can be perceived, just not by the ordinary naked eye. I feel like some people definitely do see more than what is said. But also going on to quantum physics, this is one of the topics I studied quite deeply, and I'm happy you brought it up because I will tie a lot of my scientific outlook as a scholar of science. I've graduated from college for chemistry, physics and maths, but chose instead to go into music and other things. However, a lot of my analysis of my situation and events that have happened in life, I do have a somewhat scientific explanation for too. And especially in stuff like quantum physics, string theory, a lot of events that may be perceived as unexplainable, if you apply a bit of knowledge of, you know, quantum physics, you can find some answers.
Let's start from the beginning. Is there anything that led you to breaking free of the matrix, essentially? Like to wake up from the false reality that mainstream society kind of clings to and see the greater world as a whole? Like, is there any one situation that kind of woke you up, or was it like accumulative over years?
So for me, it's been very much a lifelong goal, only set into action in the last half a decade, the last 5 years. So when I was born, I sustained some injuries to my head as soon as I was born. I suffered greatly with my mental health. I was a very nice child, but I was a very distressed and angry child. I suffered really bad with my ADHD, slightly on the spectrum for autism as well. So it's a gift and a curse in a sense, having these things, because I never really had, especially in my early days of school, no sense of friendship, no real sense of community. I was very much an outcast where I grew up. And it was horrible growing up, but in a sense it blessed me because I never really felt the need to go with the societal norm. And I never really expected myself to follow into this, you know, as a lot of people assume, the matrix, and to go into that sort of set process of life to live, work, marry and die. I because of my upbringing, because of how I was treated, that never appealed to me. I never felt as though I wanted to be part of that. But for many years, I did try, as most humans do. You know, we kind of ignore our brains for as long as we can. But it wasn't until I finished college when I was 18. It started when I started college, when I started getting that freedom. You know, you're allowed to smoke cigarettes and stuff now, and you can drive. And I started realizing the world was kind of at my fingertips with these phones. And although I was a gifted scientist and on my way to study medicine, my love for music just superseded that in a sense. So I started it at the beginning of college. But as my music took on more traction and a lot of people were admitting, you know, we genuinely like your music, something I thought people would never say. I'd done music for fun at first. I didn't think it was a way out for me. I felt a slave to the matrix almost. You know, a lot of people don't see a sort of escape, but I just gradually worked bit by bit. And, you know, the more work I put in and the more results I received, the more I realized I don't have to depend on the system anymore for my mental health or my physical health or my source of knowledge. I can go about this independently. So it was mainly once I'd left college, 18, that was it. I left my job. I left my studies. I started living at my friends' houses. And it's a rough process at first. I think a lot of people don't appreciate how much they're going to have to change, lose, and sacrifice in order to live a free life and become a free man and to escape the matrix in a sense, because as much as it keeps us held, there are a lot of things about the matrix that we love, a lot of things that do benefit you. A lot of people you know and love are wrapped up within it. So it was a slow process. Like I said, it was over the course of my life, I kind of made the means to escape. But it was after my leave from college that I finally went, no, you know, I can make this money myself. I can make it work. And I do whatever I can to get by, really. I do quite well with my music. I've got a lot of side hustles that I use in order to get me through the month. But yeah, that's kind of an overall view how. But anyone that's wanting and feeling like they're trapped, just a quick message is just do it. The world's at your fingertips and you can start again as many times as you need to in life. It doesn't matter what you've done wrong, what's gone on. If you use the universe and its tools, the world's at your fingertips. You know, it's impossible. It's impossible to go broke only if you believe you will.
Discipline is freedom. Is there any like one particular specific, like maybe paranormal incident that happened that got you interested in demonology and like the weirder side of the world?
So like I was explaining shortly at the start, the place I grew up in is called Knaphill. It's in Surrey, in the town of Woking. Now, Surrey, Woking and Knaphill all have quite heavy occult past, quite a dark history to where I grew up, where effectively the oldest and largest mental asylum in the United Kingdom is basically the grounds we lived on as kids. And not only that, my house was also on the first, oldest, and most heavily used crematorium in the United Kingdom. So just living in this place, when you walk about alone at night as a kid, you feel the dread. There's just this pungent scent of death, not a literal smell, but to the senses, it's just an unpleasant place to be. And I didn't obviously come to understand these facts until later on in life. So once the asylum was closed due to inhumane treatment of patients, they were effectively keeping generations of families kept in, not even letting their kids leave. And all these people left and kind of situated as the population of Knaphill. Knaphill being called Knaphill because it's short for kidnap, a place where children used to be killed, sacrificed, and eaten in pagan rituals. That's a very hidden past. I'll try pull up some resources that I have on that, but it's all very rocky. The UK tends to cover up a lot of its dark past. So as a kid, I was surrounded by these concepts of death. I was a different kid. I had ADHD, obviously. I have quite a high IQ, So ADHD and high intelligence is something that meant I never slept. I was constantly studying. So as a kid, I had an innate interest in death because I lived on the grounds of where thousands of people come every week to spread their family's ashes. And we could see them do it from the park we were in. And not only that, it's got such an old nature and history of witchcraft that, for example, I was 6 years old when I first got taught how to read tarot by my friend's mum, who was openly a witch. So just growing up in this place, folklore, witchcraft, demonology, ghosts, all that stuff was very real from a young age. And as much as I was terrified of it, I would, because I had extreme insomnia due to my ADHD and quite a strict dad, South African dad, I'd have to go to bed like 7, 8 p.m., but I wouldn't sleep till 4 or 5 in the morning. So I'd sit with a little head torch or a flashlight and I'd just read through books. And I used to love reading into ghost stories, but they terrified me. And I had a lot of weird experiences in the house I grew up in. Never with one particular spirit, but being a place where ashes are scattered, a lot of souls get lost in that general vicinity. And my friend kind of reminded me about the first sort of experience we had is my dad used to always tell me I was having night terrors. So I never believed any of it, but I think it must have been, I was probably about 8 years old. The first I can remember was me and my friend both seeing someone moving through my room, my TV coming on, producing large amounts of static. We freaked out. We were trying to smash the TV. We were trying to unplug the power. Nothing would turn it off. And we were both terrified. And then my dad came in. All of the weird stuff stopped. And we were told off for being up outside our bed, thought we were lying. Now, events like that happened quite a lot for me throughout growing up. Strange events like they used to, me and my friend, it would happen a lot with my one particular friend. We would see this little girl in the house and we'd play with her and we'd see her in the garden. We'd get these weird objects just appear in the house, like weird smiley face balls would get thrown through our window and stuff. So those were kind of the first sort of general experiences I had with ghosts, the demons, witchcraft, whatever it may be. It was very, very embedded in us from young in the place we grew up. It's a very prevalent force.
That's pretty creepy. So your first experience was with a ghost walking through your room.
Yeah. My first, my whole life growing up, I was always obsessed with these ghosts and I had multiple experiences in my house, but I had very skeptical family that didn't want to believe. Not only that, one of the main places I spent my... So that the house I lived in was built with timber from a shipwreck that was somewhat 600 years old. And wow. the other house I lived in with my grandparents, it was the first manor house built in a very, very prominent village near London. And it was built in 1650. So as a kid, I was surrounded by these very old places, places with very dark pasts. Like witches were burnt in the garden of that house, hung from the trees and stuff. And as a kid, I'd see it. I'd go to my family. I'd be like, there's mother, you know, the mum, there's people hanging from the tree. And they're like, what? This kid's crazy.
That sounds like some pretty scary stuff, man. Is there anything that you find like truly frightening about any of that in particular? Like is like maybe certain types of spirits or demons?
I think the scariest part was the number of different experiences. So not being able to relate to any haunting experience because a lot of people, they experience one spirit, one force, one entity. Because I lived in this place that was... thousands of ash bodies are being cast into the lake that I see from my bedroom window. I'm having all these weird experiences, but I think the scariest time I had was about a period of a month. I kept seeing shadow people in my room.
One thing you can invest in that does not lose value is gold and silver. there is no better place to go for financial security than Goldco, rated A+ by the Better Business Bureau. Get the free 2023 Gold IRA kit Americans are using to protect their retirement savings. Get your free 2023 Gold IRA kit at goldco.goldkit.com. Goldco is a leader in the precious metals industry. From precious metals IRA to direct purchases of precious metal coins and bars, we partner with individuals seeking to diversify and safely grow their retirement portfolios. Allow Goldco to make your gold and silver investments easy, seamless, and secure. Our investment is in good hands. Chuck Norris, what? Oh, I'm recording.
$30 off weed with code PODCAST? Did someone say $30 off weed with code PODCAST? Amuse delivers over 500 high-quality cannabis products from the Bay Area brands you love at everyday low prices. You can also rest assured that everything will be up to your high standards. So what are you waiting for? Start shopping now at Amuse.com. Use promo code PODCAST to save $30 off your next order. That's AMUSE.com.
Is your brain always hungry? Do you have a mental appetite that often goes unsated? You may be suffering from hungry brain syndrome, a debilitating and sometimes life-threatening condition experienced by humans who require double, sometimes even quadruple, the amount of mental nutrition needed to sustain the general population. But now there's help. For years, our dedicated team of world-class researchers have been developing a thicker, more nutrient-dense podcast specifically for sufferers of hungry brain syndrome. And now we want to share it with you. All you have to do is search for our podcast, The Whole Rabbit, in your podcast player of choice, and select from one of our delicious flavors, like Slovenian succubi, Gnosticism, or Ancient Egypt. It's no wonder The Whole Rabbit is the most recommended treatment for hungry brain syndrome on the market. So what are you waiting for? Try The Whole Rabbit today. Do not listen while deep sea diving. Side effects may include eating carrots and shooting lasers.
But I had quite a strict dad. My family were all atheists, complete atheists, didn't ever want to hear anything about, no, it's your head, you were sleeping. So that was the scariest part for me, was having these shadow people in my room. It got to the point I was felt as if I was being sexually assaulted by them, physically assaulted, but one believes you. Yeah. And that's the scariest thing, is, am I crazy? And that's just a question I had in my head, which is the last thing you want to be thinking as a child, is how can I discern reality from what's in my head? And so it was when I had a really scary experience of, I must have been 13, 14 years old. I remember my cat basically getting thrown at a wall. A lot of stuff banging around in my room and just seeing this shadow dashing about. All the lights blew, even though they weren't on. And I just rolled over in bed, and I don't know what got into bed with me, but it was weird. It was horrifying. And like I was saying, no one believes you as a kid. So is this real? Am I even awake?
What do you think shadow people are?
Am I dreaming? There's many different things they could be attributed with. I think the most logical explanation for me is jinn. So the Arabic belief in spirits and demons, just because their accounts, description, and overall belief in how they function is so accurate. And I grew up not only in Woking, as all those other places I talked about, it was the first mosque in the UK. So the first Asian community settled there. So I had many, many friends who were Muslim. I've spoken to many different scholars of Islam, and their description was the most accurate, of that these beings are a being, they exist on the same plane as us, but in a realm we can't see. And they're not, they have their own function and role within the universe, and they're not always out to harm and get people. However, I think sometimes those worlds can sort of cross and combine, especially when you get to these places of like where I was living, where I'm on the grounds of all these occult sites and a big crematorium that I'm living on the grounds on. I think these places give a lot of energy and magnetism, allowing for these realms to sometimes be seen. So I believe they're very real things. They have their own function and play in the universe, and they're not meant to just solely get humans, but due to either the human invocation and manifestation or through the situation or an object they may be holding, that these kind of energy portals or resonances in energy can lead to us seeing what isn't normally perceived. Especially because when scary stuff happens, you get a huge surge of adrenaline, which when you get a lot of adrenaline, if anyone here knows, if you've seen something scary, paranormal, or a near-death experience, it's like a high. And I feel like altogether opens up those sort of gateways for you to perceive.
I think that the gateways too, I was going to ask you, like with all the occult energy that was built up in the energy, like in the area, I mean, with all of those rituals over the years. And then on top of that, sanitarium, crematorium, that's like a perfect storm of like mental energy of like negative, not necessarily exactly. Negativity, but just like messed up, weird energy vortex probably that could like really lead to some bizarre manifestations.
Yeah, and like, I believe a lot of these energies reside, and with all this stuff that went on, it's given Woking, it's kind of a feel that it's like there's an invisible barrier when I go to visit my hometown. And it's not just me, I bring a lot of people from outside of Woking there, and everyone says the same, that it is, and even the people living there, they're like almost trapped in a way. A lot of them don't like it there. And it's like this invisible barrier. It's like this fog just sets on you once you get a certain distance. But yeah, I think the craziest part is once I started pursuing the answers to what I was seeing, that's when it definitely made it all come along a lot stronger.
I've always been pretty fascinated in Jinn lore. Like they're made of smokeless fire, and they're not all evil, but there are definitely a lot of them that are evil and don't like humans.
Yeah. So I was taught about jinns through, like I said, my friends who were scholars of Islam or were, just your everyday Muslim. There's quite a lot of gang violence where I grew up. So a lot of the people I knew had quite dark pasts. One of them in particular, he'd never had problems with jinn. He was a good kid, but he went on to commit knife crime for a reason he couldn't really understand, couldn't remember the event, done something pretty horrific to someone. And I didn't want much to do with anyone who committed an act of violence on another human. It didn't sit right morally with me. However, I kind of felt this kid was more groomed into what he had to do than done it by choice. So I used to go and meet him. And that was when I can say it was a true encounter with a jinn, because that's from his faith. Obviously, I was mainly focused on Christianity, but I went to his house, and this kind of jinn energy sort of come up over him. He just started opening up about the crime he'd done and how he felt bad about it and how he's seeing these things now. And me being curious, as I'd seen my own side of what the jinns were, I implored more, and he explained quite a few key things about them. One being that they manifest and form under trees. This is why people at night tend to get very disorientated and lost in the woods. I don't believe all trees are bad. I don't believe all jinns are bad, but it's just an interesting one there. He used to tell me that jinns lived under trees. That, like you said, it's a smoke. He used to say it's smokeless fire. He said it's a form that isn't physical, but it physically manifests. And so this jinn would come and he'd get knocks on his door. The door would just open, he'd kind of speak to stuff that wasn't there. And it was a freaky experience. In the end, I kind of had to get out because he was like talking to himself and the djinn was obviously influencing him because I couldn't see its form. He could, but I could see where it was moving because the door would open or something would fall off the shelf and he'd look and speak to it. And I was like, fuck that, I need to get out. And then I went and spoke to my friend who studied Islam, and yeah, he explained it as when there was it's like an alternate dimension in a sense, they believe that on the human plane you have humans, but then there's like the djinn plane that also exists on Earth, but it's a whole society. There are these djinn kings who have legion over multiple different commanders of other djinn. There are, like you said, there are some djinn that are straight evil that you should never mess with. But in Arabic culture, it differs a lot because there's this world of djinn, in a sense, that they're all very much connected. And it says Allah has sent them to keep us distracted and turn us away from God, but not to harm us and take us over. However, some of them still do. But in Islam, they believe that the djinn are trying to lead them astray and they're trying to distract them from God. And that a djinn comes in manifest physical form to try and possess and take away that person from God. So it's almost like this whole race of beings. I used to get explained different kings, different hierarchies.
See, that sounds like demonology right there.
Exactly. And that's when I started drawing the ties of, okay, this is exactly like what I've read about the Goetia. It was almost completely uncanny to books like De Lesseki, a very famous medieval book on demonology. And it's not even just with Islam and Christianity. There are other religion, other cultural beliefs that all mirror this same pattern of there's this world we can't see that exists still on our plane but isn't visible to the naked eye. And they all report of this hierarchy. They all report of, you know, different traits, different abilities. Just the parallels for me made me kind of think, okay, the name for a demon in Islam's djinn and it's demon in English. They're talking about the same, pretty much the same thing. Maybe they may give them different names and slightly different descriptions, but it was obvious to me that the same ethereal forces are manifesting across the globe, but obviously due to cultural differences are being perceived in slightly different ways and given different names. But with goetic magic, there has been quite, especially in the occult, there's been quite a large merge of European and Arabic folklore, mainly due to the Knights Templar and obviously their crusades in the Middle East and what they brought back. So it was clear to me that although we're on two different sides of the globe, I think most humans are talking about the same hierarchy of whether it's a set of your psyche that can attack you or it is a demon manifest. I don't have the answers, but it's true that there is a unique phenomena that multiple experience the same things worldwide. So there's something there.
Yeah, and djinn lore is super ancient. It goes way back into old Arabia. It's not necessarily or directly linked to Islam. It was adopted by Islam.
Exactly. I think some of the oldest sources I've studied date back to 500 BC. Accounts of these things called sand djinn. There's like multiple reports of sand being able to move in the desert in the Middle East. And these go back for centuries, even, like I was saying, all the way back to some of the earliest written accounts coming out of, I don't know, about 500, might be a bit too far back, but definitely predating Muhammad, peace be upon him.
Oh yeah, by a huge degree.
Yeah, and it's the same worldwide, really. Before it was, I mean, in England, they were most definitely worshipping these djinn. The old pagan gods, it's the same. If you look at paganism and all their spirits and their hierarchy and their gods, it again, just any polytheistic religion really completely mirrors another's perception of demonology. Whether they're all bad, whether, you know, they all have this horrible effect, I don't know. But especially in the West, it's very much become the narrative that these are harmful beings. But there's a lot of different perceptions on them worldwide.
Yeah, even the Goetia demons are not necessarily all like evil and stuff. I mean, I'm sure from a Christian perspective, they're going to all be considered evil, but some are just like forces of nature.
Exactly. And demon derives from the Greek word daimon, or daemon. And the daemon were the names given to what we now consider angels and demons. So they were originally one category, all the same. There wasn't a distinction between the good and evil between them. They were just daemon. And that was the narrative in Earth for a long time. A lot of these spirits were considered angels, some considered demons. And even nowadays, in modern day Gnostic science, in modern day occult and Goetia, you have like the Lesser Key of Solomon, for example, which is a book filled with demons. Most definitely, no doubt about it, you're going to get anything good from that book. But then there's the Greater Key of Solomon, which invokes angels and archangels. However, some of those angels, you don't want to mess with either and aren't going to bring about good things in your life. And aren't
a lot of ways, angels are scarier than demons.
Definitely. One thing a lot of people seem to forget nowadays is that God's the one you should really fear, and his angels as well. That's something that through my experiences over time, I come to realize.
When like hardcore occultists really want to screw somebody over, or they want to do something bad or whatever to somebody, like curse them, not necessarily curse, but anything like that, they don't call on a demon, they call on an angel.
Yep. Yeah, that's the thing. A lot of people have misunderstood the application of this. And in a sense, when you're practicing Goetia, it's a very unnatural thing. Any form of the Goetia, whether you're summoning an angel or not, you're commanding forces that are way beyond your comprehension, way beyond what you should be doing in life. You know, I've never really heavily been into Goetic magic. I've used it when I've had to, and under circumstances where I consulted many an occultist, many a religious professor, to ensure I was making the right choice. I think a lot of people nowadays, they find some book in the library and they think, oh, this is cute. I'm gonna summon an angel today and ask it for help in my exams. And that's just not gonna end well, I think. the publicity that these books are getting, while the majority of the population sit and go, oh, they're just books, there's no harm in that. The main story I want to tell today, revolving around a person who was affected by demons, it was through the use of these Goetic books that she lost her soul. And that's one of the main reasons I want to come on here today, is just to share as much as I can about what I know, because I know that there's a lot of people out there that dabble in this stuff, and I can't tell them to stop, but I can at least share my experiences and hope that they won't make the same mistakes as others have. Because whenever you're playing with spirits, whether you believe it's real or not, there have been many people that didn't think what they were doing would have any true real effect and did it for fun and have lost their lives as a result.
In truth, it doesn't matter if they're real or not. That's like a limited human way of thinking, believing or non-believing. It doesn't matter.
Yeah, and I don't have a gen, like with these jinn, demon, angels, daimon, whatever you want to call them. They're beyond human comprehension and universal understanding.
Oh,
like,
man.
Like this dimension we're on. So people need to stop concerning themselves with understanding the nature of these forces. That will happen when you die. And you pass over to them.
It's almost like cosmic horror from Lovecraft.
Exactly. It's like people are summoning these big Cthulhu to help them.
So, yeah. So
with
get this
an exam or something.
I remember reading this guy, and he was saying he asked the archangel Chamael what his real name was and what his real form was. And Kamael said, I don't know if I can tell you what my real name is, because I think you would need like 12 more vocal cords.
Yep. Literally. The Enochian tongue, so the described language of angels is, yeah, you can't speak that shit. You can't speak that. It's such beyond comprehension. And even when, if an angel ever, so I have seen the form of one angel, but it was because this was after many years working with this one specific entity. And the first thing it said was, do not fear, because this will melt your mind. And it genuinely was like...
And it's like a spinning ring of eyeballs.
Yeah, I saw it as this anthropomorphic being made of spinning rings and eyeballs that was multicolored, burning with a bright white light, was grinning grimacely at me, was the most terrifying shit I've ever seen. But because
that's an angel, that's one of them.
The right way, the angel's like, yo, chill, it's good. Obviously, he didn't speak like that.
Yeah,
but
don't worry about all my eyeballs.
Don't worry. I'm not here to hurt you, but this is how we look. This is why you can't be with us all the time. This is why you're on the human plane and we're up here, because it's too complex for the human mind to comprehend. All we can do is give our analysis and share our experience to these beings.
That's why I like anyone who sees an angel or something in the Bible. It's like their hair just turns white.
Yeah, trust. That's one thing I had. I got kicked out of church growing up. I was a youth pastor for a few years, but my main interest was in Revelations and reading about angels and spirits and Jesus, come on, and demons. And yeah, my views once I found Galatia were not very accepted by the church. That did ultimately lead to me leaving.
Hi there. Thanks for listening to Cryptic Chronicles. The show is sponsored by Blueberry, and if you're interested in starting your own podcast, use our link. We'll even give your podcast a shout out. Go to crypticchroniclespodcast.com and click on the Blueberry link on the homepage. By doing so, you'll be helping the show. Blueberry is optimized for iTunes as well as all podcast hubs. You won't have to worry about expensive contracts or fees. In fact, you won't have to leave your own website. You'll have your own RSS feed and no third-party sites. Try it for a month free by going through Cryptic Chronicles. Also, if you're a fan of cryptic content, please support the show on Patreon. By giving just $1 a month, you can really assist us in posting more content frequently. You'll also have access to bonus ad-free episodes of the show and the Discord channel. To keep up with all Cryptic Chronicles content, follow us on Twitter, Instagram, Tumblr, and of course, Facebook. Give the Facebook page a like and join the Cryptic Chronicles group. We'd love to hear from you. Thanks for supporting the show. Thanks but most of all, thanks for listening.
Because, yeah, a lot of people, even especially with Christians, I don't think they realize they give all the glory to God, where these angels are all part of the firmament too. They're all part of the celestial ladder, yeah, that we sit on. They aren't conscious entities. They are the very framework that holds our reality.
They're like a
together.
Computer program in a computer.
Exactly. It's one angel's a stick of RAM, one angel's a hard drive, one angel's a CPU. We need these beings to
create
our reality.
Going along that line, the fallen angels or even the demons, not necessarily the demons, but they could be considered these programs that woke up.
Yeah.
From some point of view.
I think that, because that's one thing that I always found like quite confusing about my studies of Christianity is, so what would these fallen angels be? Because it's very much described what an angel is. You can quite easily discern its purpose through prayer. But then there's these fallen angels. Well, did they fall in a physical form? Did they fall in spiritual form? Are they literal bloodlines now being passed on? And I've met many occultists and many a person who claims to be of lineage of fallen angels. I've seen some pretty bizarre stuff. I've seen people physically shapeshift, not to a great extent, where they've taken on a whole different form, but simple stuff like blinking sideways and having being able to dilate or slit their pupils at will.
That's
I don't
spooky.
Know if that's just a party trick or if they are so-called from these descendants of fallen angel, but that's one thing that confused me because that's quite an interesting way to put it. Are they the programs that woke up? And if so, why are they being punished if all they wanted was free will?
I think maybe it's like they were always going to wake up. I mean, there's
exactly.
Nothing that is not God's will, right? I mean, if you're really looking at stuff objectively, nothing exists that is not God's will. So it was part of the plan all along.
Exactly. And maybe there could be some salvation for some of these fallen angels. Because again, like I see in my term, as I grew up, I saw fallen as a particular soul residing within a person. I believe the fallen now reside as lost people. Some that can redeem themselves, some that can't. A lot of people talk about, you know, starseed awakenings and stuff like that. My sort of great awakening for me was realizing I've committed a very great sin in the world beyond, and I'm here to make up for it. That was kind of what my life will revealed as, is that you're here to stop others from falling into the wrong hands. I believe that the fallen is more for me personally, and like I said, anyone can believe what they want because the Bible is everyone's own universe is their own. But for me, it's you make it to this celestial realm, or you've been existing there, and something's gone wrong. Either you've ignored your duty, turned from your duty, turned from God, or you choose to come here. And I believe it's because, as much as we can't understand about anything from the realms above, they can kind of understand what we're doing here. But sometimes you need that human experience to truly learn from. And I believe all these people who have prominent roles in society, who tend to take on leadership roles, who are creative and do art and make music, or go into politics and lead a country, there's something unique about these people in that they all have a very large freedom of mind, quite a knowledgeable understanding of the unknown. And I was saying, I believe a lot of people are either, I don't know, like you mentioned Matrix earlier. I feel like some people are just people. They're not going to find God. It doesn't seem right to me. They're here to work. They're kind of like part of the simulation.
They're like an NPC.
Exactly. I see that with a lot of people, and it's not necessarily like a bad thing, but they're definitely not the type of person that would listen to this podcast or be able to understand it. So it's like, okay, what sets apart the people that have had this awakening and those who are still asleep? And I believe it is the realizing of the fallen of, oh, okay, I'm connected to these higher planes. Yeah, you know, maybe some fell and are trying to get back to there, or some have just been here and just come out of there NPC phase of human existence and are starting to wake up and connect with these divine forces. It's quite an interesting one. The concept of the fallen is one that fascinated me. So I've done so much study into it, into the Bible. I think one interesting point with it, slightly going off topic, but it's interesting, is it talks about Mars. There are quite a few things that point to Mars being the Garden of Eden. And obviously it's the closest planet to ours. Was once inhabited with life, we can believe, because we know that there's ice lakes. We know that there has been ice, which means there could possibly have been vegetation. And it talks about in the Holy War, the Garden of Eden being destroyed and the people fleeing and falling to another place. So that's another interesting concept.
That's interesting.
Yeah, Buzz Aldrin also stated that there's great pyramids on Mars too, and obelisks on the moon, and that they use them for, they use those for travel, not rocket ships. Just a little off-key point, but nonetheless still relates.
I like it.
But yeah, I believe we're all here for some sort of reason, whether we've done mistakes or we're just here to learn. There's a definite sending or falling that happens when you descend upon Earth. Something, and people who come to realize that, it definitely sets you apart in the overall scheme of things.
Yeah, I feel the same way. You're mentioning that starseed stuff. So I'm like super fascinated with starseed stuff, but at the same time, like, you know, I don't really believe it or not believe it. I just have an interest in these things. Like, they just have always called to me, I guess. So like, that's probably one of my purposes, like you were just talking about. I'm just a chronicler. That's why.
Yeah.
But
it's a sticky one to explain, because I think, so there's obviously this realm of Daemon. It must exist because it's been spoke about by every single culture, every single person. Not every person, of course. A lot of people don't ever see or experience it, but all these cultures and all our ancient history, whether they were linked, had people living or crossed over, they all have these separate accounts of this hierarchy of beings above us. So I believe them to be of extraterrestrial origin. This is where the whole ET stuff starts coming in, of where, okay, are we being visited by aliens or are they angels? And what do these beings want to work from us? A star seed is generally described as a being who is being helped from a higher plane by entities, specifically Palladian entities, I believe, from like the seven sister star system. They're apparently a group of light beings that want to help enlighten and push the world into its next stage of great awakening. But there's just too much inconsistency in that for me. I don't really like the teachings of Gaia. It's all too modern day. It makes sense for people. It's a good way to teach people, but I believe
the
more
people
we're dealing with is the... Oh, sorry, what did you say?
A lot of the people are cringe who talk about that.
That's what I mean. It's for me, someone who I've studied real esoteric stuff, real mysticism since I was probably 12 years old, I think I bought my first occult book from London. It's disrespectful when these people who have had, they've been awake for like 2 months and they've just got their first book on astral projection, and they try and talk down to me about these things. And, oh, I'm being helped by this infinitely powerful light being. It's
delusional arrogance.
Kind of seems to me like the jinns have got to you, bro. So that's going off that. I believe we're being helped by the plane of the Daemon, whether that's angels or demons. They
you
are
said something about Gnostic lore
origin.
Earlier. Not in Gnostic lore, there's something called archons, and as long as the archons can keep you focused on the fake reality, that's their job.
Exactly, and this is the thing that comes in with it. So we're dealing with this reign of this realm of Daemon, which once you awaken, you can't avoid anymore. It's they're there, they know you're awake, they're going to come for you. And you can either, I feel like a lot of people who say they're having a starseed awakening, thank you for bringing up the archons, because this is a topic I only just first studied a few weeks ago. but it gave me a lot of insight for what I wanted to speak about today, because I feel like a lot of people are sort of grabbed by these entities and they think they're seeing the light, but they're having a torch shone in front of their face.
Yeah, exactly.
Because they'll go, a lot of people, they'll go and they'll have these awakenings, and I'm like, okay, how have you achieved this? What do you practice? And do they do some black magic and they do some weird rituals and love spells on people, and their thing gives them help and like telling them to look beautiful? And I've had some people have some real weird, like, I believe it is archons, like,
so there's a really easy test you can do to see if somebody's worth listening to or not concerning something like that. Is you ask them if they have like daily meditation practice. If they don't have some sort of discipline of like meditation or anything like that, you can still listen to them if you're interested in their stories, but they don't have any credibility.
Definitely. And that's the thing that annoys me, is a lot of these archons, they capture the beings and they flood them with these divine visual experiences. All these people talk about, oh, I've seen this in my meditation that I do once a month. And it's, that's not how it works. We're not always supposed to be seeing these divine things and experiencing these divine things. And if you are, I strongly hope you open your mind to the fact that a demon is trying to possess you.
Yeah, it's the moral
of the story, straight up. Yeah, a lot of these people, you know, and I even had it for a while too. I will get on into a second about the main thing that taught me the most about the occult, which was with being with an extremely possessed person. But before getting on to that, a lot of people, you need to discern. You should never, in life, if you're not doing something, like you were saying with the daily meditations, I meditate daily. I do a ritual practice maybe 3 times a week. I read for about 3 hours a day. You're simply learning everything you know from a phone, which is most definitely connected to this ethereal plane, just through artificial intelligence and the fact that a lot of these beings are electromagnetic and can only exist in that form. These phones are little possession tools. Like,
well, yeah, and a lot of people don't know that you can, thoughts themselves, the thoughts in your mind, they could be these beings. That's one of the ways that they speak.
Exactly.
So if you can't control your thoughts, if you don't have a disciplined mind, they can do whatever you want. And you think that it's your thoughts.
A free game.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so I think this would be perfect time to sort of get onto the main brunt of the story I'd like to share. Because this is a perfect point to, if you're happy for me to get started.
Absolutely.
So, when I was 15 years of age, no, 14, like I said, I grew up in this very dark place. I'd always been studying the occult. I'd never practiced it. I've always been a devout believer and worshiper of God. A lot of people, because of my beliefs, tend to think I'm some sort of Satanist or doing black magic. I'm only part of Freemasonry and the Rosicrucian Order, and that was later on in life. But as a kid, I just liked reading about the stuff. Didn't necessarily know if it was real or not. I knew I was seeing ghosts, but at the same time, I was on Ritalin from a young age. I had psychologists telling me it's side effects. So I never really knew for certain, but I had this general awakening coming about from a young age. I was studying always the pyramids, all these topics, and I felt I had something to know and achieve.
Abrupt ending. To continue the interview, go click on Teed, Demonic Possession, and the Paranormal in England Part 2.
Thank you.
That's all for today's episode. Make sure you go check out TD's links that I have in the details of this episode. Cryptic Chronicles is available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Podbean, Spreaker, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, and basically all podcast hubs. You look for us and we're there. Though Cryptic Chronicles is free to listen to, the cost to maintain it and produce it is substantial. If you'd like to become a supporter of the show, please go to my Patreon or Subscribestar, and by one pledge of a dollar, you can get episodes months and months in advance. Though not the interview episodes, such as the one that you just listened to, I release them immediately. Depending on the pledge, you can also come and host the show with me, or you can just, you know, direct what episode you'd like me to do. By supporting the show, you will in the future make sure that I can make more and more content consistently, as well as keep the lights on. And as always, I'd like to thank my current supporters, MJ Calvo, Adrian, John, Alien X, Lorna Grubb, Linda Gonzalez, Angela Dallaire, Ashley, Brad Herbert, Lawrence Lee, Patricia Coles, Kayla, Michael Worrell, Jimmy Woods, Grotius, Sophia Owens, Scott Wellman, Beware the Q, Ashley Thompson, Matt Poland, Johnny Wick, DeYale Adams, Danny Van Heck, Carnage, Jesse Leach, Austin Monday, Michael Graham, Ed Hawks, Trusty Old Senpai, Lex Lazarus, Ryan Nolan, Jared, Matthew Lawson, Jismic, Spacecoin, Gary Hetzel, Tom McClurney, Colton Spinner, Justin, Miyamoto Musashi, Jeremy Gross, Psychic Terror, Jacob Neil McBride, Cameron Sanders, Robin Van Patten, Ryan L., Lee Gray, Rosalinda Gonzalez, Jonathan Jackson, Brandon Wigglesworth, Cody George, Annie Dadon, TD777, Emily Schmemely, Sphinx314, 6-1, and Dane Hegelson. Thank you so much for supporting the show, but, you know, most of all, thanks for listening. And as one of the most famous occultists who ever lived once said, balance every thought with its opposition, because the marriage of them is the destruction of illusion.